Hello, 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 and welcome to My Empty Hands, a podcast about the martial arts with a focus on Kenpo. I am Reggie Darden, and I'm excited to have our guest today, Kevin Parham. And we're going to jump in and talk some Kenpo and talk some martial arts and just have ourselves a good old time. I like to start things off with just giving a little bit of my background. I started in Kenpo in the early to mid 90s. I started at a school that was known as a Chinese Kenpo school, but it was basically the Tracy's Kenpo, Tracy's Karate curriculum. I trained there up to my green belt, or halfway through my green belt to my third brown when I left for the Army. While I was in the Army, I got to do some Taekwondo and some Hapkido and some boxing, and enjoyed that. Once I left the military, I then got involved in Capoeira, and I've been doing that for quite many years, both as a student and as a forced, but happily forced into teaching as well, until I got back into training Kenpo again, and American Kenpo, about 2 or 3 years, and I've worked my way back up to green belt, and trucking along towards that third brown, and really enjoying the journey and what's coming next. And so now we've got this podcast, and having fun doing that and talking to people and hearing their journey. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over here to you, good sir, and just tell me and those that may be listening, how did Kenpo find you, and we talked a little bit before we started the recording that you've also done some martial arts, other martial arts. But when did take us back to the beginning? When did you first get into the martial arts, and how did that all start for you?
Oh, okay. Well, it all started really in 1983. I'm from Trenton, New Jersey. We got 7.5 miles away from everywhere. You know what I'm saying? But my journey began really in the martial arts. Really began in 1993. I started training in Tong Sudo. I trained under disciple of Grandmaster J.C. Shen of the World Tong Sudo Association. I achieved from that red belt, and so I know all about the it's so crazy. I still remember my Pidan, Chodan, Pidan, Idan, Pidan, Samdan. I still remember all of that. They changed the first beginning from Kichohan to Segion for the white belts. And I went all the way through to the red belt. And then that was like in 93, I left there in 95. And from there, my martial arts journey took me all kinds of different styles of martial arts, from Tong Sudo to Five Animal Shaolin, Kung Fu. Then I went from there to I went to Jiu-Jitsu, but it was a Japanese style Jiu-Jitsu. Shobushido Jiu-Jitsu, and then from there, I didn't stay long from there because, life issues or whatever. And then after that, I went to, Yin Style Bagua. After that, I was like, wow, okay, I'm home now. I didn't want to go nowhere. But the instructor moved to Florida. And I was out couldn't do martial arts for a minute. Then I lucked up. I mean, really lucked up. I got into something called Kokikai Rua Kido. And I achieved from there a blue belt from that system. And I fell in love with Kokikai Rua. I mean, I really, really enjoyed it. And again, life issues. I had to leave there. And around, let me see, I say around 2020, for some reason, I was really interested in reality-based martial arts. You know what I'm saying? That real reality street fighting. And I couldn't find a decent school. It was hard. This was like 2021. I couldn't find anything that interested me. And then I got on Google, and I said, let me see what this Kempo style is about. But let me let the listeners let them know something real quick. Kempo karate is nothing until you see it live. I mean, I'm not talking about on the mat. I'm talking about in the streets. 2002, I was doing security for elementary school. No, it was junior high school, I'm sorry. Junior high school, I was working overtime. And what happened was a fight broke out. So I had the security kids, told them to come inside, and these guys it was banging. But my eyes was fixed on this one dude, this one guy. And I'm telling you, Reggie, man, this guy, all he did was vertical fist, back fist, and elbows. That's all he did. That's all I remember seeing him do. And he did a one front kick. I guess he busted some guy knee or something. I don't know. All I know is I seen the guy hit the floor. And I said, whoa. And I was like, yo, that must be Wing Chun. You couldn't tell me it wasn't Wing Chun. I was so pissed. I was like, whoa, and these guys then all of a sudden he ran, were running, because I guess the cops were coming or whatever. And when I seen this guy, I was like, whoa, that must be Wing Chun. Because the way he had his fist, how he had, held his fist and everything, and I was like, wow, that's amazing. Now, mind you, at that time, I was still studying Kokikai Rua Kido. But when I seen this guy do his thing, I said, oh no, I gotta find out if that's Wing Chun. So as fate would have it, or luck, or blessings, or whatever, 2018, I was working at a men's shelter, doing security at a men's shelter. And I happened to see one of the guys that was involved in the melee. And I asked him, I said, yo, who was the dude? I described him and everything. He said, oh no, that's my little cousin. And I said to him, I said, oh, really? I said, yo, where'd he learn Wing Chun? He was like, that's not Wing Chun. He said, he don't know no Wing Chun. I said, well, what does he know? He says, oh, he knows something called Kempo Karate. I said, what? Kempo? I said, you mean to tell me how he planted this? He said, yeah, he knows Kempo. And I said, now, mind you, this is like 11 years after The Perfect Weapon. Okay? 11 years. So I'm looking at him, I'm like, Kempo, where is he learning Kempo? He said, he's not from Trenton. He's not from Trenton. He's from somewhere upstate New York or something. And I said, oh, wow. I said, oh, man, oh, God, boy, if I had, if he, woo. So, I haven't seen the guy. But his cousin told me that he's now present. He studies Salat. He got his belt in Kempo. Now the branch of Kempo that he trains in is called Tracy's Kempo. And I said, wow, really? I don't even know. At that time, I didn't even know. I couldn't tell the difference between EPAC or Tracy. I don't know. I said, I don't know who Tracy is. You know what I'm saying? I just know Ed Parker, you know what I'm saying, because of The Perfect Weapon. He said, yeah, that's Tracy Kempo, man. Yeah, he got his third degree black belt. And he left he went to Salat now. He trains in Salat. Something called Goyang Salat. Something called Goyang Salat. And he said, well, it's kind of similar, like to Kenpo or whatever, you know, they just do a lot of deep stances. I said, oh, okay. So the young man went to Malaysia, the whole nine, came back. Now he teaches, he has his own school at the local Y in upstate New York. So 2002, I said, oh, I got to find a Kenpo school. I got to find me a Kenpo school. So as it turns out, I found it, and the rest is history. You know what I'm saying? The rest is history. I've been hooked on Kenpo ever since. And because the curriculum is amazing, the curriculum is very robust, and I enjoy it, man. I mean, I go two nights a week because of my job, because I'm a security officer at night. And I go on Mondays and Fridays. And every once in a while, I'll pop in on a Wednesday, but I go Monday and Friday night, and my journey has been, you know, it's been heavy ever since I got in, and it's so crazy because I'm a red belt in Tong Shudo, I'm a white sash in Yin Sta Bagua, I'm a blue in Koki Kavu Aikido, and a white belt in Shobushido Jiu-Jitsu. And out of all those styles, I found it in Kenpo Karate. Every last one of them. You see what I'm saying? And it's amazing, you know? So that's how my journey began in 2002. And I've been loving it ever since.
That is great. I love that story. I love hearing the passion and the love for Kenpo. It's really great.
I love it. But again, if you've never seen Kenpo outside of the dojo, outside of the mat, I got a chance to see. I've seen it firsthand. And I've been hooked on it ever since. You know what I'm saying? That's 10 years after The Perfect Weapon. So we're talking about 2002. You see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, no. The reach, Perfect Weapon has gotten many folks into Kenpo, myself included.
Right.
Jess Beekman and that movie just has really, really inspired.
Yes. But again, like I said, you've never seen it done on the streets. Especially, I'm in an urban city. You ain't never seen it done outside of the mat. And that's where it begins. That's where the vibe begins to me. And again, you know, to see this gentleman, young man, take on two and three guys, but they ran off. You know what I'm saying? I mean, well, it wasn't just him. It was him, his cousin, and another gentleman, and then it was some other guys came from off the block. You know what I mean? You know, to jump these guys. You know what I mean? And I'm like, whoa. You know, and I'm getting all the kids out. I'm seeing it. I'm getting all the kids into school. You know, everybody getting to school. And everybody got in school. They came in. I had to call the cops and everything. But when I seen that young man fight, Reggie, man, I don't know how to describe it. I really don't. So, I mean, like I said, when I got into the, you know, on the mat myself, for me myself, I see everything that I've learned come to fruition. Only difference is that I have to get used to. I have to still get used to the hand movements. I have to really get used to it because, you know, if you're coming from Tong Sudo, you know, the only thing you know is straight. You know what I'm saying, Reg? That's all you know. You know straight.
Exactly.
You know, but,
exactly.
You know, but,
so,
yeah, and then, you know, the, Go ahead.
We'll definitely get back to the Kenpo side, but I'm curious. Your original, the original start when you found the Tang Sudo school, what was the driving factor for getting into that? So, like for me, I grew up watching the Kung Fu movies, Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan and, Black Belt Theater and Ron Van Cleef and Jim Kelly and all that.
Oh, no, you didn't say that. Of course.
You got to have the Black Dragon himself on there. So getting a little bit, a little bit newer, The Last Dragon and Timac and all that. The movies are what, I wanted to start the martial arts for. So what was the thing that, got you to find that first Tang Soo Do school?
Okay. Before there was Tang Soo Do, you just threw me off because I wasn't even thinking about way back in the day. But way back in the day, what really started it for me with the Tang Soo Do, I don't know, the art of kicking always fascinated me. But before I get into that, let me tell you something. There was a show in New York City called the Asian Martial Arts something. It was ran by a gentleman by the name of Aaron Banks. Now, here I am, I'm 9 years old, and I'm documenting all of this stuff that I'm seeing with these martial arts because I had one with my uncle and my cousins. And I seen this big guy. His name was Grandmaster Moses Powell. Sir, when I seen this man move, I was in awe. I was like, yo, are you serious? And it was just amazing. It was just amazing. And then they had this other guy. His name, I seen him in 1982. It was a show called Wide World of Sports, and it was hosted by Chuck Connors. And I seen this gentleman by the name of Grandmaster Ronald Duncan, catching arrows out of the air, knocking them out of the air. And I said, yo, are you serious? So after seeing all of that, seeing those guys, I mean, you catching arrows out of the air, for real? Who does that? You know what I'm saying? So after that, I had to find a school. And then when I got to Tang Soo Do, I had another legend, Steve Chambers, one of the greatest Tang Soo Do practitioners that I've known. This gentleman, his combinations, because he used to be a kickboxer, right, in the early 80s. He's an amateur kickboxer. He didn't get too far because of, I don't know, maybe some politics or whatever because of Grandmaster Shen. Maybe because of Grandmaster Shen. I'm not sure. But he was like 6'1". But his axe kick, oh my God, his axe kick was amazing. I mean, it was like, it looked like 6 o'clock. That's what we used to call it because he used to drop that kick, and if you was in the way, oh my God, I felt sorry for you. I'm serious. And he had are you familiar with Superfoot Bill Wallace?
Oh, yes. I actually was in a seminar with him a few months back, so yeah. I get to say that I have the honor of being kicked, punched, and choked by him. I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, my former instructor used to do the same thing, but he used to do it with the flickering roundhouse kick. He used to do the flickering roundhouse kick, side kick, and then some kind of way do a hook, like a axe kick. I don't know how he used to do it. We used to be like, we were just in awe. And you know, we were all just, you know, we just thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread, bro. You know what I mean? And again, he was just something he just made Tong Sudo make it real interesting. So with Tong Sudo, I tell people all the time, you know, I learned Tong Sudo. I learned how to fight in Tong Sudo, Bagua. I learned martial arts, Aikido. I learned martial arts. Jiu-Jitsu. I learned martial arts. But when I got to, this is why I say I'm full circle. When I got to Kenpo, oh, I learned how to fight for real, because this style of Kenpo is amazing. Like I said, it's we're Chinese as well. We're Chinese Kenpo as well, and you know. How can I say it? Oh, man. And another thing I have to get used to, you know, hand styles. You know what I'm saying? And I have to really, really get used to hand styles because, again, I was always used to combination, you know? Not saying that Kenpo doesn't have combination, but ours was, you know, high kicks, combination. In Tong Sudo, that was high kicks, combination, you know? Hand, foot, you know, doing flickering kicks. You know, I'm older now. I can't do that no more. You see what I'm saying? So I had got into Kenpo because when I seen how the people, my professor, Professor Max Ferrier, when I see how he uses his hands, especially his open hands, man, he's something to watch. You know what I'm saying? Him and his son is something to watch. So, again, my journey in Kenpo, like I said, started really with Jeff Speedman and, you know, the Perfect Weapon, but I got a chance to see it off the mat in, you know, 2002. You know what I'm saying? So, when I seen it, how it works, you know, in the street, in a, you know, concrete jungle, okay, all right. And when I found the school, and then, you know, I like I said, I'm just in awe. You know, every time, and then again, what's another thing is, I don't know about your school, but when you go to a Kenpo school, it's always something different. It's, you know, the curriculum, not saying that it changes for the good, it's just something, you're like, dang. Okay, all right, yeah, I could do this. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, now we know we learn the forms, you know, short three and long two, and you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's, and then, you know, you learn how to use your hands, circular and linear. Oh, man, I'm just enthused. I'm just overly joyed that I finally found what I was looking for.
I feel you, and I definitely agree with your sentiments. You know, Kenpo has a lot of things that really bring in, and it's great that Kenpo was able to find you and you were able to find it and get that love for it. Kind of take a little detour again. I'm just curious with, you know, since you trained in a few other arts, what was, you know, the catalyst? Why, you know, was it just because, you know, you moved or, you know, whatever, that you changed styles, or was it that you weren't finding, you know, what you were looking for in that particular system? Or,
you know. And I could say that about Aikido. I couldn't find what I was looking for. And I love Aikido. I love Kokikaru Aikido. You know, but I couldn't, you know. Then the teacher, he was big into what they call reenactments. So, you know, he really wasn't interested as much as he was. And I was like, oh, man, you know, this isn't good. So he wasn't hardly there. And he had to learn from another brown belt. And then the school closed. The politics of those certain styles, with the exception of Kung Sudo, which, you know, I left, because I got involved in community work. And let's see, what else? Shogoshido Jiu-Jitsu, that was too far. It was all the way in Philly, so that was a distance for me, you know. I love that style too. And Yen style Bagua, that was politics as well. So all of my systems that I was a part of, I had to leave because, one, life issues, two, again, politics. Those were the two main things as to why I ended up leaving. So, you know, when I got to Kenpo, it was like, oh, well, you know, it looks like I'm going to be here for a minute, you know. So that's what happened. That was the determining factor for me. You know, it was, like I said, politics and, you know, again, life issues. So that's what happened.
Okay. Yeah, I can. And then I can relate to that.
I'm sorry. And then I had, in 2006, I had a son.
Oh.
So I had to stop. Yeah, I had to deter. I mean, it was so much going on during that time. Within those. From when I seen Kenpo work all the way up until, I say, 2006, I was like, that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was just crazy. You know, I had a son, he's 17 now, so he's big on boxing, man. That's his boxing and football. That's his thing. He's 17, so I tried to get him into the dojo, but he was like, just give me something simple.
I can definitely relate with that. So getting to the current times, the Kenpo. What rank are you at now in Kenpo?
Second brown. I just got my second brown.
All right, well, very nice. Congratulations on that. Not too far behind you. I still got a little ways to go, but
we good.
Very nice.
So,
and are you involved in the teaching side at all, or have you been?
I'm part of the adult class, and I would love to be a part of the teaching class. I would really love to be a part of it, but. My job, it's my job, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm a security officer. I get off late, you know. I start late. I start at 10 a.m. So from 10 to 6, you know, it's kind of hard. You know, mm-hmm. Classes start at 7, and I would love to teach. What I would love to teach, teenagers or what they call preteens,
mm-hmm.
between the ages of 10 to 13. That would be my heart, you know? And even with that, that would probably be a demo team. I mean, that's one of my passions. That's one of my passions, to do a demo team, a musical demo team, and just, you know, show these young people, man, you are disciplined, you know? So, and then on top of that, I forgot to put out there, I train in Morrisville, New Jersey. Morrisville, PA, which is over the bridge from Trenton, right? As fate would have it, there are no real Kenpo schools here in the city. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't mind being the first to open up a school one day, you know, teaching those young people how to really, understand the difference between your emotions and critical thinking skills.
I like that. I definitely I don't know if it's in the cards for me, so I've started on, you know, I've started the instructor's program at my school, or started, you know, participating in the instructor's program at my school. So I'm still, you know, still a newbie to that part of it. I did teach capoeira for many years, as I kind of inherited the group that I was a part of. I'm familiar with that side of it, but teaching Kenpo is still new to me. But just the teaching side of it is, you know, really, really exciting, really fulfilling. I mean, you really learn whether, you know, how much Kenpo you know when you have to teach it to someone else. So,
That's true. This is true. Well, what style of Kenpo, is it Angola or Hajina?
It is a real quick sidebar for the listeners here. So, in capoeira, they have kind of different kind of flavors of capoeira, as you will, and kind of the two, I guess, kind of primarily known versions of it. They're what they call capoeira Angola and capoeira regional, and they're, you know, they have kind of different methodologies and kind of different, you know, ideas, and I guess kind of similar to, you know, like the difference between, you know, a EPAC at Parker, you know, American Kenpo, and a Tracy's Kenpo. You could kind of look at it similar that way, but just to, you know, explain what I do. So the, you know, organization that I'm a part of, or the group that I'm a part of, is known as the United Capoeira Association, and that is under, or it was started by a capoeira legend, a big, very big name in the capoeira world, and he goes by the name of Mestre Acordeon, and so that's the, you know, association that I am a part of, and they would be kind of classified as a contemporary a capoeira contemporary, so it's kind of in between a capoeira regional and a capoeira Angola. So, you know, we kind of do a little bit of everything, and you know, I've been, you know, really, really enjoying that, and was running my little group in Reno for a long time, until I, you know, had to leave, and now I'm living in Texas, and so I'm just kind of. I'm sorry.
Teacher in Kenpo.
So my instructor is a man by the name of Bill Piper. He got his third and fourth degrees under Larry Tatum. So our curriculum kind of follows in that path. And
wow.
Yeah, I've been Larry really
Tatum.
Yeah, he's something else. I'm still, as of this recording, I'm still working on getting him on the show. Hopefully I can get him really, really soon.
There are people in Kenpo that I've always been amazed that he's one of them. Senior Grandmaster Ed Parker and this other gentleman by the name of Sujo Steve Sanders, now Steve Muhammad. Those three? Oh, man. And out your way, another gentleman by the name of, is it Tim Bulak or is it Tom Bulak? I can't remember. I think it's Tim Bulak. Man, those four? Oh, man. I could watch them all day. I'm good. Rest in peace to, you know, Senior Grandmaster Ed Parker, but Tim Bulak, Steve Sanders, and Chuck Sullivan.
Yes.
Light watching him move.
Yes.
Chuck Sullivan, light watching him move. Just just like I said, I just, there's certain people that I just searched out when I got into this art. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, on purpose. those are definitely all legends in the art. I know Chuck Sullivan has agreed to be on, so hopefully I will get him on real soon. And also working on Steve Muhammad as well. Looking forward to that. Yeah. Hasn't been released yet, but I have already spoken with Jeff Speakman, so I will hopefully get his episode out real soon. But awesome. Yeah, it was quite a moment to be able to speak with this, you know, the gentleman that is a big part of why I do what I do. So
exactly.
Yeah, it was.
Yes, he is definitely. I mean, seeing that movie again, and I tell people all the time. You can tell him I said it. The alley scene, man, listen. The alley scene, the Taekwondo scene, that was hot. Everything else was hot. But that alley scene felt so real. Oh, my God. Whew, boy, that thing felt. When he ran and trying to get out, run to go get the big guy, and he couldn't do it, and the guys came up and was asking for his wallet. I know it was choreographed, but to me, when I see that, I watch that scene over and over and over again. It just felt so real. There was no flashy kicks. It was just straight punches, turns. Since you've been studying Kenpo for you, what is one of the techniques that you enjoy the most?
Oh, well, it's kind of funny that you asked that. So in my show, I typically, you know, I have my what I call the lightning round, and I have some questions it's my show, so we can go any kind of way that we want to go. But yeah, that's actually one of my questions that we get to when we get to wrapping up. But I'm usually the one asking it, and I will turn that to you here in a little bit. But as far as for me, you know, it kind of like a lot of my guests have said, you know, kind of they're all my favorite techniques, but you know, there are definitely ones that I consider the Kenpo All-Stars, because you see them in kind of every version of Kenpo. So, you know, you have your five swords, and you have your thundering hammers and flashing wings. You know, the Kapuata All-Stars are some of my favorites. I will, kind of mention, one that comes to mind, I'm forgetting the name of it, and I'm gonna go crazy until I think of it. But there is a technique that is part of Long 3, where you kind of attack the eyes and kind of do a number of different movements, but kind of the ending part of the technique is you knee them in the face. And I can't believe that I'm blanking on the name of the technique, but I really like that one. But I would say, for just, you know, the easy answer, you know, your Kenpo All-Star technique. So, you know, five swords, thundering hammers, flashing wings, are, you know, some of the, you know, ones I'd probably put on the top of the food chain there. So. So to turn it around on you, we'll kind of hit the lightning round a little early. What would be one of your favorites?
Top of the food chain for me is, I know a lot of people going bug out on this, the Lady Sword.
That's a great one. I mean, that's the one that starts it off. That's an excellent answer. I'm surprised that I didn't say that, because I mean, that's where would we be without Delayed Sword? So yeah.
Delayed Sword, exactly. Delayed Sword, and of course Thunder and Hammers. Oh my God. I've been dreaming about Thunder and Hammers. Do you understand me? I dream about Thunder and Hammers. Once I get there, oh my God, I don't even want to talk about it, because I know that's going to come to me one of these days. Yeah. Thunder and Hammers is like the top, for me, the top. It is so, how can I say it? It's so simple. Not simple and again, easy. You step to the side and you catching a Joker and then go around them. Oh, come on, man. Stop playing. Five Swords. We have in our system something called what is it called? Japanese sword going in. And mm-hmm. I think you guys call it Shield and Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Once I'm able to get inside, man, look. I'm going to light you up like a Christmas tree, for real.
Hmm.
What else? Oh my God! All of it, you're going to see all of my stuff is inside the attack. Everything I like to do is inside the attack. Windmill Guard. We have another. That's another one of my favorites.
Yeah, I was going to mention that one and.
Windmill Guard.
I don't know why I didn't.
One of my favorites. Unfurling Cranes. Top of the chain, baby. That's top of the chain right there with Thunder and Hammers. But we call it Drums and Manchu. And it's man. How many is that?
Hey, that's fine. That's fine. Ooh, those are all just great ones.
Yeah, and I wanted to also say this to you, to the listeners. Kempo isn't nothing without their feet movements. If you know how to use in a fight, how to use what they call that when you cross your foot in front to get to the opponent. Your opponent, and then you cross it back to get away from your opponent. Man,
yeah. That, depending on which organization you're from, you know, that could be like a front twist or
okay, right. Or yeah, like you're twisting or you're unfurling or whatever. Mm-hmm. And come on, your foot movement has to be top notch. Mm-hmm. Period. If your footwork and your hands, and you know how to utilize your hands and your feet properly, man, you're dangerous. You're dangerous. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's, and I learned that we have something we call a Kempo Walk, where my instructor, he'll give you on how to move your feet and your hands simultaneously. And, man, it's something, man. It's something. I'm just giving it away too much.
No, I like again, it. I like your passion for the art. So that's.
Man, yeah. I seriously on everything, and I don't mean no disrespect, but I'm 57 now. I don't look it, but I'm 57. I wish I had learned this at 37. I'm serious, but hey, there's a reason for it. You know what I mean?
There's life works the way that it works. And like I like to say with both Kempo and this is really a kind of a big saying in Capoeira, is that the you don't find the art finds you. And I feel like we don't get involved in these things necessarily when we want to. It's when the art is ready for us. So like for me, I started You know, I started when I was like 15 or, you know, 15, 14, 15, somewhere around there.
Right.
And, yep. You know, I trained for a few years, and then I had over 25-year break in between Kempo schools. So, and,
right.
You know, yes, I wish I could have, you know, kept training Kempo. And you know, I possibly could have, but I see it that, you know, the universe or, you know, whatever you want to say, wasn't ready for me to be doing Kempo at the time when I wasn't, you know, actively doing it all the time. So, you know, I you know, had to be in the right place and find you know, the right school, and you know, that just wasn't my time. And, you know, now is the time for that. So, you know, I definitely agree with you that, you know, yeah, I wish I could have started earlier, or I wish I could have, you know, trained at this time, but, you know, the universe wasn't ready for that. So, you know, now you're here where you're at now, because that was the time to be there. And, you know, we make the most of it. So
That's right.
Like them.
All right.
So let's go ahead and jump to since we've kind of started the lightning round, let's go ahead and jump to the next question then. Do you have a favorite form and or set?
Favorite form right now is long form 2. Short form 2 and short form 3 at the moment, because I fell in love with it just when I started learning it. I was told that it was the form of grads, and I fell in love with it. It became a part of me, you know. So those right now, those two right now. And I seen long form 1. I mean long form 4, and I think that's going to be my next culprit.
Yeah, no, long form 4 is definitely a great form. With you being a Tracy guy, I'm kind of surprised you didn't mention book set or Panther set.
Oh no! Hold up! Wait a minute! The reason why I didn't mention it, because it took me a while to get it, but then when I got book set, I was like, oh, okay, this is it. Oh, all right, cool. All right, I got this. You know what I'm saying? But Panther set was interesting. That's all I could say. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, cool. I'm gonna have to go to the park and practice that. But right, book set? Oh yeah. I love them. Yeah, I do.
I like it. Okay, and then the final question: if there's anyone that you could train with, living or dead, fictional or non-fictional, besides Ed Parker, who would that be?
Ed Parker's teacher. William Chow? No. Hold up. Let me explain why I said that. I did some research on this guy. You know this guy used to dance, man? He was a dancer.
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
Yeah, no. Dancing and martial arts go hand in hand with
that's what I'm saying.
Many of the greats.
And that's why I was like, wow, this guy, he was a cha-cha dancer or something like something, ballroom dance. He was just a dancer. That's what I heard. You see what I'm saying? And when I researched it, I said, oh, this man used to dance. Oh, okay. All right. And who else you want me to talk about? Somebody else?
I mean, whoever you want. We can just stick with him, or if there's somebody else that you'd like to we can do that too.
Yeah. Oh, man, there's too many of them. Oh, my goodness. No, seriously, it is so many. I would have to say, I definitely would have to say Steve Muhammad. I would definitely, when you say, don't mention Ed Parker, right?
Well, I throw that in there because, you know, this is a Kenpo show. Okay. Everybody's going to say Ed Parker. So,
Ed Parker.
Out of all, out of all my guests, pretty much everybody has said Ed Parker. Okay. So,
William Chow, Steve Muhammad, of course, Larry Tatum. I mean, man, listen. I just, only thing I want to do with Larry Tatum, for real, I just want to be his Yuki, his the guy that he could beat up on. if I could be his Uki, just for somebody that he can beat up on, I can pick up what he's doing.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
It would be easy for me to pick up what he's doing because I'd be like, oh, this is what you did. You know what I'm saying? Because he's, oh, man, that man is fantastic to watch, bro. I'm sorry. I mean, I hope he don't hear me say this, but it's the truth. I just want to just beat the dude that he can beat up on. And I'll be right. I'll be like, thank you, sir. Thank you. That's all I wanted to say. You know what I'm saying? That's it. And it's a young lady. Oh, man. She is fantastic. I can't remember her name. Oh, my God. I seen an old clipping of her, and I said, yo, she is fantastic. Oh, my goodness. I cannot remember her name. Oh, my God. I'm trying to remember. Is she? I don't want to disrespect her culture. I don't know whether she's Chinese or Japanese or Hawaiian. I seen her move. Graceful. Oh, she is. I can't remember her name. And maybe, again, somebody that listen to the audience can, you know, tell me her name. But she is amazing, Reg. Oh, she is fantastic. She was, and of course, Jeff Speakman. I would just like to, you know, with him, I just want to just talk to him. Just have a nice long talk to him. That's all. Jeff, I want to just have a nice long talk. Who else? It was another gentleman. He was a big Mexican guy. He just passed away. Like I said, it's so many of them, Reg. It's so many of them that I'm like, really?
Well, that's okay. We can discuss it in the online the online comments and on Facebook and whatnot.
Right. But the Mexican guy, one of the reasons why I wanted to work with him, he has this drill that he does with his students, and the last time I seen that drill was in Wing Chun, because I seen some people in Wing Chun do it. It's like a touch drill, you know what I'm saying? And it's very smooth. But when you use it, it makes you fast because it's slow. And slow is fast. Anybody knows that, they know slow is fast. But his hands, oh my God, he's another one. He's a dude who used to box back in the day. But, you know, he was a big dude. He was a big guy, you know, and his temperament was just fantastic. But like I said, if I see his name in the comments or whatever, I know who people are talking about. But he was fantastic. And anybody know who that girl, that young lady is, or young woman is, she was a part of Ed Parker's demonstration team.
Okay.
That's when I seen her. And I said, yo, who is that? And I think she's higher up in the rank now. She's really like high up in the ranks. But she's amazing. I can't remember her name. Like I said, when I seen it, she was a part of the demonstration team. You know, that's all I could say about her. And the other, Jeff Speakman, and that's right. I can't forget about him. Brian Hawkins.
Yes.
What? Oh, I can't forget about him. I'm so sorry. That's another one. Let me just be your Uki. Let me just let you beat me up. You can beat me up. I just want to be in front of you. That's all. That's all. Let me be in front of you.
Well, we'll try and make that happen. I'm working on getting him on the show as well. So we'll see if we can get you beat up by
Brian
some of the greats.
Oh, man, I would love it. I would eat it up. I would eat it up. I'm serious. And, you know, and the two people that Tom Kelly, Seafood, I think he had Seafood, Google, Tom Kelly, he was the one that gave Grandmaster Joe Louis a hard time at a tournament. He gave him a hard time. I mean, peace be upon him. I think he passed away, Tom Kelly.
Yeah.
He did give. Yeah, he passed away. And and of course, people that came out of Tracy's camp, you know what I'm saying? They were some good fighters back in the day. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah. Tom Kelly, Grandmaster Tom Kelly, he gave Grandmaster Joe Louis a hard time in 1971 at the Grand International, at the Internationals in Los Angeles. So yeah, a lot of people still disagree with me, but I know what I saw. That kid, everybody knows Joe Louis is known for his back fist, reverse punch, and that side kick. Before he can even put that side kick up, he made him do roundhouse kicks on his right foot. He made Tom Kelly, Google Tom Kelly, made him use his right foot more than he used his, side kick. And I was like, oh, y'all don't see that? He had that man, oh, man, I can go on for days about Kimpo, man. Let me get off this phone.
We'll definitely have to. We'll definitely have to do this again. Yeah.
Definitely. Because, like I said, when it comes to Kimpo and Kimpo history, boy, look, can ask me as much as you want. I've been studying along with me training. I've been studying the lineage. That's why I said what I said about Carlo Kimpo and William Chow. Man, William Chow, I seen an old picture of him, a video, and I said, man, this boy is fantastic. Now I see where Grandmaster Ed Parker gets his style, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I want to say this about Grandmaster Ed Parker real quick before we go. He's, to me, from what I've seen him do with the Pink Panther movies and all of that stuff, that man was amazing. He was amazing. And in that film, The Pink Panther Returns, I seen Kimpo, but I didn't receive this, all of the names that he was doing in that film. And I was like, wait a minute. The only thing I recognized was Five Swords. Real talk. I recognized Five Swords because he did do that. But everything else, I was like, damn, he stepped the game up a little bit. And the same thing with, Jeff Speedman. You know what I mean? So I got to go. I'm sorry, man. I'm giddy. This Kimpo thing is just, it's something else, man. I didn't mean to hold you up, but I love it. I love the style. I love the lineage. I'll put it like that. I love the lineage.
I love
the lineage, and prayerfully, I would love to be a part of it. You see what I'm saying? But because it's just, what's not the love? And to all the critics out there, you got to get on the mat with somebody, because all of this, ain't nobody gonna stand there and let you hit them. True, you're right. But if an opportunity presents itself, multiple attacks is not really hard. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what we do. So if the opportunity presents itself and you're there and all it takes is one miss, what makes you think I'm just going to just hit you once and keep it moving? That's all I want to say. All right. I gotta go. I gotta get up in the morning.
All right. Thank you so much for being on. I had a lot of fun chatting with you and learning about your story, and I think everyone's gonna enjoy hearing it as well. So yeah, thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me, my man. And yo, listen, man, keep doing what you're doing, man. Don't let nobody deter you from doing what you're doing, man. You're talking about tempo. You should have people banging down the doors. You know what I'm saying? You should have people banging down the doors on for your show.
Exactly.
I can't forget about a big shout out to my man for Art of One Dojo, Mr. Dan. He's another one of my inspirations. I'm a big man. I'm a chubby guy. He's a chubby guy.
Me too.
But he moves, huh?
I said me too. So
yeah, I'm a chubby guy. But when you see this man move, he's one of my inspirations that I'm like, yo, for real? I can move like that? Oh, I'm down now, for real. I mean, I gotta go. But thank you for having me. And thanks. I hope the listeners understand that my enthusiasm is just, I love Kempo.
I like it.
I love it.
All right. So, well, thank you again. And we'll talk real soon.
All right, no problem. See you later, Red.
All right, bye.
All right, thanks.